This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight, we're going to get real serious because we're talking about the opioid crisis, an urgent health threat. So if you don't know about opioids, you will learn.
And welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Okay. We're talking tonight about the opioid crisis, which is an urgent health threat. No, we don't want to hear that anymore.
Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that
sometimes
can be difficult to talk about.
My producer is not working tonight.
May be autistic, have
I see we have issues.
Disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Okay, we're starting the show, and we're talking about the opioid crisis, which is an urgent health threat. In a report that was released last week, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said that in 2015, the amount of opioids prescribed was enough for every American to be medicated around the clock for 3 weeks. I'm going to say that again. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said in 2015, the amount of opioids prescribed was enough for every American to be medicated around the clock for 3 weeks. That's a whole lot of stuff. At least 2 million people in the United States were addicted to prescription opioids in 2015. Drug overdose driven primarily by opioids is now the leading cause of unintentional injury deaths in the United States. And trends indicate that premature deaths associated with the use of opioids are likely to climb. Nearly one in four Medicaid patients were prescribed opioids in 2015. It seems there's a lack of attention to educate the general public about the risk and the benefits of prescription opioids. 2015, that was 4 years ago. I don't have the stats for 2019. Well, they probably don't have them as well. But that's a problem, people. That's a problem for all of us. And opioid addiction is a long-lasting chronic disease that can cause major health, social, and economic problems. Opioids are a class of drugs that act in the nervous system to produce feelings of pleasure and pain relief. Some opioids are prescribed by healthcare providers to manage severe and chronic pain. Common prescribed opioids include oxycodone, fentanyl, and buprenorphine, methadone, oxymorphine, and hydrocodone, codeine, and morphine. Some other opioids, such as heroin, are illegal drugs of abuse. So we got a whole number of drugs. The opioid addiction is characterized by a powerful, compulsive urge to use opioid drugs, even when they are no longer required medically. So if you start taking these type of drugs, you might get to the point where you have to have them. Opioids have a high potential for causing addiction in some people, even when the medications are prescribed appropriately and taken as directed. Many prescription opioids are misused or diverted to others. Individuals who become addicted may prioritize getting and using these drugs over other activities in their lives, often negatively impacting their professional and personal relationships. It is unknown why some people are more likely to become addicted than others. What do you think about that? I'm going to leave that question with you. Why do you think there are some people who are more likely to become addicted than others? What do you think about that? I'm going to take a break, and when I come back, give me your thought about that.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Autism affects 1 in 68 children, sweeping all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. Autism is a lifelong brain disorder that leads to untold challenges to the physical, financial, and social well-being of people with autism and their families. Resources are stretched thin. The Autism Alliance of Michigan, a collective voice for families across the entire state, uses resources to help families battle challenges right here, right now. If you or anyone you know needs help navigating the autism journey, contact the Autism Alliance of Michigan today, 877-463-AAOM, or visit them online at aaomi.org.
Okay, and we're back. We're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. And tonight we're talking about the opioid crisis, which is an urgent health threat. If you know of someone that may have a problem, you need to try to speak with them. I have a caller who has a comment to make. Hello, caller. How are you?
I'm fine, Miss Jenny. What? My name is Margaret from Detroit, and I got started quite a few years back with fibromyalgia, and doctors hopped me up on three different 750 milligram pills at the same time to help curb my pain from my fibromyalgia.
Oh, wow.
And when I left from there and came from San Diego and came back to Detroit, my blood pressure was high. And then doctors wanted to try and get it under control. But it took a while. And through that, I wound up in a system for chronic kidney disease phase.
Oh, wow.
From the high blood pressure. And after realizing, taking any of the other opioids that they were giving me, other than the three, I cut them loose quick, fast, and in a hurry, and learned to deal with the pain. So far, it's been 12 years I've had the chronic kidney disease, and I haven't been on a kidney machine. No medication has been given to me. And every time a doctor mentions pain pills to me, I say, sorry, I got a chronic kidney disease. I'll deal with it. And I won't take it. So it requires on a person's strength with prayer on how they handle those drugs. Because, well, one reason, when the pain is so strong, you really want, and you're crying in tears, you want anything to help you.
Right, right.
But at that time, I cried out to the Lord to help save me. And eases his transition of dealing with the chronic kidney disease. So the opioids can lead into a whole lot of things other than
overdose. Because I was reading where when they can no longer get the opioids, I guess if the doctor doesn't prescribe anymore for them, then they go to heroin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to have that feel-good feeling, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather feel good off of a high nature than a high pill.
Well, see, that's you. You were strong enough to do that. But then there are so many. Well, yeah, that'll work too. But there are so many that can't do it. They can't do it. I don't know if, well, you know what? We make a lot of choices that are not the right ones. And a lot of people don't care as long as they can get that feeling, you know? So, I don't know. Thank God I'm not hooked on anything, and I've had some pain. That's not to say that I couldn't have been, but, you know, I do thank God that I'm not. And then when you start reading, you will find out, and I'm thinking, I'm not sure, it's Mark 11:24, where God says, you can have what you say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's what it is. You know, you might want to look it up. But, you know, and I started thinking about that. You can have what you say. He didn't say you had to be saved. that's the statement that was made. He didn't say you had to be saved. I know a lot of people, and I'm sure you do too, that say things, and then they come about. Because, you know, in Matthew, he says, believing, you know, whatever you ask, believing, you shall receive. So it's all about that faith thing that a lot of us don't consider, I think, is really important. But anyway, I'm so glad that you didn't.
Yeah,
you know, stay on
back
it.
In 2014, I had knee surgery, and the doctor somewhat botched the job, probably because I woke up on him and scared the dickens out of him
while he was
cutting on me.
Oh, my gosh.
My knee has been giving me just as much trouble as it was before I went ahead and had the surgery. But still, even though they wanted to push the pain pills on me, I declined. I said, never mind, I'll deal with it, which I've been doing for the past 5 years. But I keep praying to the Lord, and somehow, some way, it sort of subsided quite a bit to the point I don't worry about it too much.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing. I mean, you know, you're doing well. You're not addicted. That's a blessing, because you don't know. A lot of people can't say that.
Mm-hmm.
They can't say that. So how the knee's doing better now?
Well, until I'm trying to get up and sit down.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, That's I guess I can deal with it sometimes during the night. But I have come to realize that for those that want to keep that high feeling, as you say, they need to really get in touch with, and I hate to keep saying it, but Jesus Christ makes a big difference. He died for our sins. And to
yes,
be over-embellished into taking these opioids to try and get a high, when they can get a high from Jesus just as well by
all
dealing
right
with
now.
Life rather than hiding from life. It's a whole new thing. So each time a doctor says pill, I'm thinking about the difference of what it would make in my life if I took it, knowing how I can become addicted to it. And I said, no. I mean, I've seen enough of it in the streets, and I don't want to join them.
Yeah.
And
well, you got a good, strong will. So, Miss Margaret,
mm-hmm.
I'm so glad you called. I'm glad you're hanging on. Are you taking any medication now?
Only for blood pressure. Since originally started for my chronic kidney disease.
So you take nothing for pain?
No.
All right. All right. So how do you feel about, well, I know how you feel about it. You say the doctor botched it up because you woke up. What'd you say? What y'all doing?
And he had nerve to say, you are something else. And I said, what do you mean I'm something else? Then it dawned on me later on in life. I thought, oh, that's right. I do wake up when I'm cutting on me. So you can't put me asleep enough without me realizing, okay, no, that's not right.
Well, you know, a lot of people go under the knife for those situations. The only thing, you know, I know about them is that they tell you they don't last. So you got to go through all that pain, then you stop, and then you go through it again. And, you know, I don't know.
Girl, the anesthesiologist had put so much of that stuff in me to knock me out that when they finally finished and I woke up, they kept checking on me. Do you know what year this is? Do you know who I am? Because they realized they thought they had over-anesthetized me, in which my speech was in a slur and I could barely use fork. It felt like I'd had a stroke.
Okay.
And that had to wear off, as well as from the medication that they had given me.
Okay. Well, I'm
well,
glad you're doing well.
Imagine how somebody say, here's some food, eat it, and you can't lift up a fork. After you've had surgery, and you say, this is not right.
You know, I don't know what the difference is. I guess it could be the physicians that perform the surgeries, because my Mary Kay girl, lady, she has this doctor, and he invented something. Anyway, her time that when she got out, you know, it was shortened because of whatever he did. I mean, her time was so good.
Mm-hmm.
She decided to go back and get her other knee done. And she had the same, you know, good results. So her husband said, well, you know, if you had such good results, well, then, you know, I'm going to try it too, but I'm going to get both of mine done. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
He got both of his done, and his wasn't like his wife's. He had a time with that. I don't know what the difference is, but he really had a time. But they, you know, I've heard people say it's just so painful. It's so painful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to be in pain. So, you know, But, I'm so glad that you're doing better and your kidneys are better and you're not on dialysis or anything. That's a blessing. That's a real blessing.
Yes, it is.
I do know people that are on dialysis, and that's not pretty. So you just sit up and wait for somebody to die to, you know, get you a kidney or whatever.
So Some orders you follow when a doctor tells you don't do it, and another is common sense that you follow. So you know what you should have and shouldn't have. In order to injure yourself, you eating something that you shouldn't have, expect the results of
a bad result. Huh?
Right.
Well, it's all about the choices we make, and we have to know that each choice that we make has some kind of consequence attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the consequences are more. They are more. I tell my Sunday school kids that sin has a price tag attached to it, and you can go out there and do it if you want to. But, you know, there is a price to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
even if you do something good, when it comes back to you, it comes back to you better. You know, so, and if you do something wrong, when it comes back to you worse. So, you know, make your choice. God gave us free choice.
Yes, he did.
Free choice. So, anyway, like I said, I am so glad you called into the show and that you're doing well. And that for all the listeners out there, you can tell them that they don't have to take the pain medication.
No, they don't. They can grin and bear it.
Well, some people don't, you know, they
can't. They may not understand
that
grin and bear. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people don't do well with pain either, so, you know. But just know that, I don't know, you have to do what you have to do. But try not to get hooked. That's all I can say. Try not to get hooked. So thank you so much, Miss Margaret from Detroit.
You're quite welcome. Hopefully it'll help somebody out there to know. As you said, we have choices. So
yes, we do.
Do you want to injure your body more, or do you want it better?
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. Okay, and with that having been said, we're going to take another break. Don't forget, you're listening to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight we're talking about the opioid crisis, which is an urgent health threat.
My name is Sheila White. I am the president and co-founder of Her Cries Are Heard, an organization that focuses on preventing violence against females. 1 in 3 women have been victims of physical abuse or violence by an intimate partner or non-partner within their lifetime. 94% of women killed by men were murdered by someone they knew. Violence can affect a woman's physical and mental health and also negatively affect her children. In 1991, my sister was murdered by her husband. And in 2013, my niece was murdered by a man who followed her home from a party. Being a victim of violence is devastating to the victim and the victim's family. Help us to help you. Help us to prevent this from happening to you or someone you love. Please look at our website, www.hercriesareheard.org, for the prevention tools and referrals to help save lives.
Do you know a youth in need of a place to live? Have you always wanted to make a difference in the city of Detroit, but not known how? The answer to both of these questions is Covenant House, Michigan. Covenant House is a youth homeless shelter serving 18 to 24-year-olds in the city of Detroit with education, resources, job preparation, and so much more. If you'd like to learn more about these programs, please call 313-463-2000 or look us up on the web at www.covenanthousemi.org.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Lions Clubs International is a service or membership organization of over 1.7 million members worldwide. It was founded in 1916 in Illinois. Much of the focus of the Lions Club's work as a service club organization is to raise money for worthy causes as first responders. The Lions Club motto is We Serve. Local Lions Club programs include sight conservation, hearing and speech conservation, diabetes awareness, youth outreach, international relations, environmental issues, and many other programs. The Lions acronym also stands for Liberty, Intelligence, Our Nation's Safety. For more information, contact us at lionsclubs.org.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, and we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight we're talking about an opioid crisis, which is an urgent health threat. And we find that it's a disease that involves compulsive drug seeking, even when there may be negative consequences. It's not a moral weakness. It's a chronic disease in which people develop a pattern of using opioids that can lead to clinically significant impairment or distress. Some of the most common abuse opioids include hydrocodone, oxycodone, codeine, and heroin. So what you can do is try not to get any of these. And I don't know, since so many states, well, maybe not all, and maybe not that many, I'm not real sure of the number, the states have said that cannabis is legal. Maybe some of these will put their pills down and go to the cannabis. I don't know. We are saying that's just me. Opioid addiction is sometimes known as opioid use disorder. That's OUD, opioid use disorder, and it can vary in severity. One of the effects of opioid addiction is on the brain. Regions of the brain that control reward, decision-making, impulse control, learning, and other functions may be affected in people with opioid addiction. Because of the effects of opioids on the brain over time, some people with opioid addiction choosing whether to take opioids may be out of a person's control. So I'm assuming what they're saying is that you've been taking it for a while, and to try to avoid taking it is not an option. And to me, that would be a bad place to be. A bad place to be. If you have an addiction, you don't want it. You really don't want to have it. But you can't help it because you're in so much pain. Developmental, environmental, social, and genetic factors can play a role in determining whether or not someone develops opioid addiction. That's a good statement because the caller that just spoke, Miss Margaret from Detroit, says that she chose purposely not to continue her pill taking because she didn't want to be hooked on anything. So, developmental, environmental, social, and genetic factors can play a role in determining whether or not someone develops it. So, is that to say that if a parent or a sibling maybe had it, had an addiction, does that mean that I may be susceptible to having it as well? I don't know. Don't know about that. Callers, what do you think? What do you think about it? I don't know. How do you know when you have an opioid addiction? A variety of symptoms are associated with opioid addiction. Symptoms of opioid addiction may include a strong desire for opioids and an inability to control or reduce use. Continued use despite interference with major obligations or social functioning. Use of larger amounts over time. Development of tolerance. Oh, that's not good. That's not good. You've been using it for a while. Now your body's gotten used to it. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. It also says an inability to control or reduce your use, continued use despite interference with major obligations or social functioning, use of larger amounts over time, development of tolerance, spending a great deal of time obtaining and using opioids, and withdrawal symptoms that occur after stopping or reducing use, such as negative mood, nausea, or vomiting, muscle aches, diarrhea, fever, and insomnia. So now, would you rather have diarrhea, insomnia, be vomiting all the time, and be in a bad mood, a fever? How would you like to feel like that? When you know, if you take that pill, you're going to feel a lot better. I don't know. I have a caller who's going to let me know. Hello, caller. You're on.
And how are you tonight, Jenny White?
I'm talking. I'm real good. How about you?
Okay. It's interesting to note that I was thinking about this. You know, the comedian with the red baseball cap on. Anyway, he made this joke one time. He said, you sit there and you can't pay the rent. The gas is cut off, the water, you ain't got no money. He said, then you smoke a joint and you don't care about it no more. The pain stops. Instead of feeling, you know, you don't care about nothing. Run the rest of it out. Who cares? You know, he said, you get
That's
to the point
funny.
Where you don't care about anything. And this is how, even for any type of addiction, you get to the point, whatever the pain is, whether mental, emotional, or whatever, you take something, you don't care about it. Years ago, I heard that Coca-Cola, to make it good and to make you come back to it, they put cocaine in it. I didn't know that. Cocaine,
oh, yeah,
something
and
to
I think they still do, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they,
I don't
make
know.
Make you come and get it, yeah. The classic or whatever, you know. And that was the thing. Everybody wanted a Coke, you know. Pepsi, all of that. They wanted this, they wanted that, you know. Any type of pain that you have, you know, I was listening, some time ago I saw a documentary on the opium wars. That was between China and the Great Britain and France. And the first, the thing was that when they started, the West started dealing with the East, which was China, they could buy the products, you know, the Chinese, they had gunpowder. They had a lot of things like that, you know. They had the silk and all of this stuff. And the West was buying their products. But a lot of the products that Britain them had to offer, they didn't care for, you know. So they weren't. So what the Britain and them started doing, they introduced to them opium, which made them, and they kept saying, don't give our people that because it made a lot of addicts. And it was growing. They said, don't deal with it. But this was their way of having a captive consumer.
Right.
And then the fight was to make to legalize Dowlet in China. China was this one dynasty. They were fighting against it, but the addiction kept growing and growing and growing until when the West won, they made them legalize opium in China. So what do you do with the captive audience? What can you do with the person like that? They'll do anything for the drink.
Right.
Oh, excuse me. You can see I've got company tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, but I can see your point though. And then a lot of people don't want to withdraw because the pain is so intense. Yeah, it's so intense that they prefer to. No, I'd rather not deal with the pain. Like you said, you know, give you a joint or give you however it is, you know, and you won't care about anything.
That's true. You have to remember, we have a very strong medical lobby, very strong. And what they will do, anything to make the money.
Oh,
it's the money. It's the commercialism. It's the money after it, you know, to get you pills and this and that. The pharmaceutical companies. It's very, very strong. Very strong.
You know, that's interesting because people change over time. This is a different age that we're in now. I remember when Nixon was going through his little Watergate thing, and he was a Republican. Yeah. The Republicans came and told him, you have got to go. You have got to resign. That's what the Republicans told him. Nowadays, they must be smoking that stuff because they don't care.
Oh, yeah. They don't.
They don't care.
They want what they want out of this president, and they're going to get it. Yeah.
Oh, yes. And he's giving it to them. He gave them tax breaks and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and here the poor people are getting poorer. And then
that's
when
true.
You say you want $15 an hour, what do?
They give it to you, but
kiosks.
Hire one person.
They put
that's true.
Kiosks
that's true.
In McDonald's, and all you got to do, I don't have to talk to you. I can go and start pushing buttons on this machine and get what I want.
That's
so,
true.
I mean, you know, they're doing everything, and from what I understand, they're going to let a lot of making all these robots and stuff. They're getting rid of people. Rid of people. I mean, why? That doesn't make sense to me. I think we're just going to destroy ourselves. I really, really think that's
what we're
going to do. Yeah.
And people in pain, who are in pain mentally, emotionally, because they can't fulfill the dream that's inside of them. In order to keep it from bugging all the time, they use something to make it subside. Whether it's food,
whatever
it is.
Well, they have to. They can't deal with it.
Because the pain is so strong, with the emotional pain is so strong in them.
And the denial.
It eases the mind. Yeah. It eases the mind, the will, the emotions, and you just accept what it is. Instead of keep fighting and fighting and fighting, you know, it is.
But
that's
yeah,
one
but a
thing
lot
that,
of
that
times they commit suicide as well. They can't deal
that's
with
true.
It.
During the Civil War, it was the drug that they used to help the soldiers with their pain was I think it's called laudanum. I forget where it was. I think the Chinese brought it here, but it was good for their pain. It's like a ether or whatever, you know. And I remember this one picture of John Wayne, where close to one of the last pictures he made, I believe it was. He came on as a person. I guess he had prostate cancer or whatever, in this cowboy type Western. And James Stewart was the doctor. He said if it gets too bad, he gave him some laudanum to take. He said, but if it gets that bad, you know, it's up to you. In other words, you can go kill yourself because that's just how bad the pain was going to be. And that's how he described it to him. But laudanum was the thing that they used during during the Civil War to ease pain. A lot of those soldiers got strung out on it. They got strung out on it, you know.
We have a lot of soldiers that are strung out.
Caught in Vietnam. Yeah, they got caught up in Vietnam and trying to deal with that crazy war.
Yeah.
Undeclared war. They got strung out on a lot of things. Another thing, they had connections. They said they really was able to finance the war by raising weed and cocaine and stuff in Vietnam and selling it. Because you had a lot of soldiers, when they came back, they still had their contacts in Vietnam, and they were able to bring it in. What about the American gangster? Who was that with? Denzel Washington? He played the man who was bringing the stuff in from Vietnam and making a lot of money. What is that called? American Gangster?
Oh, I didn't see that.
The pain.
There's a lot of money in pain.
They keep saying that it's the drugs that's supporting the United States, because we're not producing like we used to.
That's horrible. That's horrible.
That's what it is. The United States is supporting a lot of countries.
I heard someone mention that the cops are the biggest drug dealers.
Yeah, they go in there, they take from you, and then they'll sit there and they'll sell it and get this money off of it. I've heard an awful lot like that goes on like that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I have no idea. The one thing I do know is that they're not going to be able to get rid of it. They are not going to be able to get rid of it. And especially now when you can get a brownie with it, you can get something for pain and rubbing in it, you know. And it's very expensive, from what I understand. I had a friend told me she got some from her chiropractor, and it was a small container, but it cost $95.
Lord.
So, you know, I don't know if it worked for her.
Because of cannabis oil?
Yes. Yes, but the chiropractor's selling it. He getting paid. I mean, everybody. That's bad. Benefiting off of people. Weak-minded people.
Well, it doesn't have to be weak. We just need something to help you out, you know. That they wanted
And you come to a point where you're either going to get up and go forward, or you're going to continue to lie down.
Now, even with a cancer patient, like I saw my cousin, he died of a colon cancer. And he was on 2 or 3 of they can only give you so much of that. What's that stuff called? The drug they use for pain. He was on 2 or 2 needles in there, and it still wasn't, you know, doing helping him.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the pain that he was dealing with.
My goodness.
And they're not going to give you more, because if you die of that, then that doctor's in trouble.
Well, you know what? I had a friend of mine. She's a registered nurse. She told me that they bury their mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she said. They bury their mistakes. So.
But then people are looking for some of your mistakes to the point. Because they want to sue and they want some money. Everybody wants some money.
Yeah, well, we're a litigious society. We are a litigious society, and we want it. And if you look at me funny, you better watch out. Because I'm going to go get to my lawyer and tell him she looked at me funny. So, I don't know. It's just, you know, we have to be careful. And I know when you're hurting, you'll take anything to get rid of the pain.
I remember Dick Gregory said that, you know, he said one thing. He pointed, the man, I was at one of the meetings, he was tracking jokes. This one time, last time I saw him in Detroit. And he said this. So that man asked him what he can do about the pain. His wife was sick. He said, I can't tell you what to do. He said, but one thing I would do is I was fast. He said, because when you fast, your body shuts down and it controls that pain. And there's an opioid secretion in your own body that will handle the pain, you know, where you can have to, you know, deal with it. Either your body's going to turn itself around and fight, or will put you in some type of a way that you won't have to deal with the pain that long. That's what he said. But he said, I was fast. I was really fast, no matter what.
He was popular for fasting, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. And that, and he said that that's what he was. He said, I was going a long fast. I, for myself, I was going a long fast and just, you know, if the body's going to turn itself around, he'll turn itself around. You have to give him this, your body the freedom to do that. But he said, I was going a long fast. Don't touch anything.
And okay, just, you know, well.
Yeah, he did say that for pain. But remember, the pharmaceuticals want to make that money too.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, oh, they're going to get it, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Piece of the rock. Okay, well, I thank you for your input.
Thank you very much. Thanks very much.
And thank you. And I have another caller who would like to make a comment or ask a question. Yes, sir. Hello? Hello? Sir? You press the one. You don't want to talk? Okay. Okay. Maybe I was mistaken. Okay, well, we're going to take another commercial, and then we'll come back with our final thoughts. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious Seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, President and CEO of Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. And tonight we've been talking about the opioid crisis, which is an urgent health threat. If you know of someone or if you have these symptoms, aches and pains, stomach cramps, feeling sick, muscle spasms or twitching, insomnia, problems sleeping, feelings of coldness and chills, muscular tension, heart pounding, runny eyes, yawning. If you have all of those, maybe you need to try to talk to the person, or if it's you, maybe you should try to do something else. The last caller said something about fasting. Now, that might be something good you might try to do. I don't know, because I don't have it, and you can say you don't know how it feels because you don't have the pain that I've had. And you're right. You're absolutely right. But I would hate for anyone to go down without attempting at least to help themselves. I mean, there's something you can try to do to help yourself and not continue to go down, because you may have someone else that's depending on you for their survival, like a child. I don't know. But, you know, if you can, try something else to get a handle on whatever the situation is, because you don't want to be 5 years in, or maybe more, and you're in the same position. You don't want to do that. So, I mean, what you can do is to do something today that your future self will thank you for. If you try it and try to get off of it and not do it, then maybe 5 years from today, if you took baby steps, you know, just like smoking cigarettes, if you stop smoking 3 packs, go down to 2, go down to 1, and then go down to 2 cigarettes and then 1 cigarette, maybe you won't have to, you know, smoke at all. Or just drop it all together. I mean, try so that 5 years from today, you can look back on it and say, I am so thankful that I didn't keep doing that and that I'm doing so much better now. I got a job. I have a place to stay. I'm not laying out under cardboard bridges and, you know, stuff like that. You don't want to do that. So when you're doing those types of things, think about 1 year from today, 2 years, 3 years, you know, think about that. And maybe that would help you pull yourself out. So like I said, do something today that your future self will look back and thank you for. Oh, man, I could have been dead. I would have been dead if I had kept doing that. So just try it. And if at first it doesn't work, it's okay. It's okay. Try it again. And then try it again. And try it again. Don't ever stop trying. Don't ever stop trying to be better. We can all be better. But if you want to stay in that hole, I mean, that's the choice that you make. We make choices. We make choices. Some bad, some good. But whatever choices we make, we're going to reap the consequences. So I thank all of my listeners for calling in. I appreciate you. And for those of you that told us how you felt and what was going on with you and, you know, just contributed to the conversation, I appreciate you as well. I have some great listeners. I love you guys. Love you guys. You don't always talk to me, but you're there and you're consistent. And you're supportive. And I just would like to let you know that I appreciate that. I really do. So I think that we're done with the opioid crisis for tonight. The opioid crisis, an urgent health threat. This has been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Good night and enjoy your weekend.